I'll tell you what, I thought a lot about this subject, and so I wanted to kind of go back, and we can visit a little bit about the history of piano playing and the how, you know, recitals have sort of evolved through the years. And so and that's kind of what's led me to have some of the opening pieces that I perform on my recitals. If you'll remember, about 25 or 30 years ago, there was the typical recital program. You would start with a Baroque piece.
Well, of course.
You know, we did the standard chronological order.
Right.
A Baroque piece, then you had maybe a classical work, maybe a Haydn or a Mozart, maybe even followed by a Beethoven piece.
Is that what everyone thought you should do?
I think so. I think it was pretty much the standard. I mean, you didn't stray from that.
Oh.
And so then, of course, you take an intermission and then have some romantic pieces. And then maybe, depending on the artist, you would go to some impressionistic music or maybe some contemporary music, really depending on the artist. You know, I've studied with some of these great pianists who would not go past Schumann, Brahms, Chopin.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I remember I had a lesson once with Lillian Collier, and I played some 20th century music for her, and she thought it was cute. But
it's 20th century.
Yeah, it didn't have any meaning.
It's not real. It's not.
No, it just didn't touch her.
No meat.
No meat.
Right.
And so, you know, she really doesn't play much past Schumann, Chopin. And so, depending on the artist, you know, you might hear some Debussy, Ravel, and you might hear some contemporary music. And that was the traditional concert. And then the other part about that is I can remember 30 years ago when the artist would come out on stage and they never spoke a word to their audience.
Oh.
And so there was almost what I would call it like a disconnect between the audience and the artist. The artist was up there and you didn't reach that person. They would come out, play their recital in chronological order, no talking, no involvement, and that was the end of the recital. Well, as you can imagine, the times have changed dramatically in that area, and by the early 90s, I was still finishing my doctorate in the early 90s, and my professor, who's an international pianist, Richard Cass, he would talk to us. I was studying at the conservatory in Kansas City, and he would talk to us about the changes that were taking place in New York, where artists would come out on stage, and they would begin to speak to their audience, and there was this connection that was being made.
Well, I think with that connection, you know, there's it seems like it would be more comfortable for the performer as well as the
audience.
Absolutely.
Oh, for me, it's much more comfortable to come out on stage and talk to my audience as if they're in my living room.
Yeah.
And so that began to happen, when that happened, you know, you would draw your audience in. There was more of an audience participation because they couldn't just sit there. They were more aware of what was going on stage with the music, and the artist was more engaged in the audience. It gives you a better feel of who your audience is and how involved they are if you, in fact, talk to them.
Now, if you went back in time with chamber music, we're thinking of music that was played in parlors or small halls or, you know, people's homes. It was probably more that way, wasn't it?
I think so.
That connection?
You know, well, in the courts, musicians were at the mercy of the king. And so whatever the king suggested that they do, they did.
Right.
And so if they got to talk about their music, I have a suspicion they didn't talk a whole lot.
Right.
But they presented exactly what the king wanted, and I'm sure the king said, you know, whatever was going on at the time, he would make the statements as to what was being played or what he wanted performed. And, you know, it was a completely different environment until the general public got to be involved.
Okay, so if we're looking at a great opening, Rosalie Walker is going to perform today, and a great opening. Would first be a connection with the audience, correct?
Yes. You know, when I moved to Fort Smith in 1990 and I began touring, I began to realize immediately that the general audience is, in fact, a general audience. It's not filled with professional musicians. So your typical audience is filled with people who enjoy a concert. They somewhat want to be entertained. And so my purpose has always been I want to entertain and enlighten. And I think the entertainment bit has come from sports. We're in a world of entertaining through sports.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Okay. Yes.
I think so.
Definitely.
And then I think also the pop pop music culture has really, you know, changed the classical world.
Of course.
So my whole philosophy for the last 20 years as I've been performing is I want to enlighten, because we don't want to just become, I didn't want to just become pop music. I mean, I am a classical pianist, but I want to entertain as well.
Of course.
And since I'm dealing with an audience, the majority of audiences are, like I say, more of a general audience that just comes because they want to hear some music, but they're not a, you know, seasoned classical veteran, then I began to think about, you know, how to open a piece or how to open a concert. So I began to turn to, well, and in the meantime, most pianists were moving away from staying strictly in chronological order.
Good.
That has gone out.
I tend to do that playing classical music, you know, just I start with Baroque and then
work your way up.
No.
But yeah, you don't have to anymore. There's
of course
just
not.
Everything goes.
And I think that's good. I think variety is important. I mean, maybe at some point they did, but you know, I would rather have, you know, a little change in energy between mm-hmm. pieces than Baroque to Baroque to, you know, just kind of moving up the ladder.
Exactly. And so when I prepare a concert, I do one of two things. I'm either doing a themed type of concert where it's maybe all character pieces or all romantic pieces. Or more often, I tend to do program my entire concert around one major work, like a major Beethoven sonata or something like the Schumann Symphonic Etudes.
Ooh, okay.
Something like that. So I program my concert around that. Well, when I start the concert, of course, I want to play something that I'm very comfortable with. You know, you've got to get comfortable out there. I mean, let's face it.
Definitely.
I'm about to play an hour and a half worth of music from memory, and I want to be comfortable doing it. So a lot of times I'll start with something that I may, in fact, come back to. Like, for example, I'll either start with something that's fast and very entertaining, light and fast, that captures the audience's attention. A lot of people come to a piano concert to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to see you running up and down the keys
exactly.
in an acrobatic sort of style, which has always been my style. So I'll play something light and fast. A lot of times a Debussy piece is a great piece to open with. Then you move into a Beethoven or a Schumann, a big major work for the rest of the half, and then maybe just end with something like a little Chopin waltz, and you end your first half. And then you come back out in the second half. You know, I play the piano novelty pieces, which are those jazz pieces from the 20s and 30s.
Right.
Well, I typically program those on the second half if I don't start with one, just to start with a light
moment. Just to loosen everyone up. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I, a lot of times, start with those on the second half and talk all about how they are in a popular style, but they have that jazz element. And then I can move right into either Debussy, some more Debussy. And then you come back out in the second half. You know, I play the piano novelty pieces, which are those jazz pieces from the 20s and 30s.
Right.
Well, I typically program those on the second half if I don't start with one, just to start with a light
moment. Just to loosen everyone up. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I, a lot of times, start with those on the second half and talk all about how they are in a popular style, but they have that jazz element. And then I can move right into either Debussy, some more Debussy, something like the Lille Joyeuse, or I can move right to Liszt. Like the second Hungarian Rhapsody fits with novelty music just great, or the Mephisto Waltz. And then my program starts fun and fast, and it's everybody's right into it. Sometimes I'll start with something like the Liszt Un Sospiro, because it's a beautiful piece, very flowing, or something like the Liszt Waldesrauschen, and then move back and close with Liszt, and then put the bigger, heavier, I put heavy music on the first half and get to that lighter romantic music on the second half.
What is your kind of music? I mean, I think people feel like a pianist can play this or that, but you do have your specific
everybody has a forte.
Repertoire. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, these, you know, maybe this person is a Rachmaninoff pianist. This
Correct.
Person is a Bach, Scarlatti pianist. This person is a Beethoven pianist.
Sure.
So I can see that definitely, and I think it's wonderful. Rosalie, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dr. Rosalie Walker, Executive Director of University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts. We've been talking about first impressions and good, great openings. And I want to thank you for stopping in today
and
come back soon, okay?
I will.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm PJ Hrabowski.